Hi, and welcome to the Interviews with Hunting Masters Campfire Session. We're back on with Zach Knowles of Extreme Outfitters, and we're going to talk to him a little bit. We're going to shoot the shit a little bit about some hunting stories and listen to some of his adventures. What's going on, Zach?
Not much, man. How are you?
Good. So I asked the same two questions of everybody that comes on Campfire. I want to hear a hunting story that had like a teaching moment or like an aha moment or something that was an impactful in your hunting career. You know, maybe you learned something and now it's something that you use all the time when you hunt or something to that effect. And then I'd like to hear your most outrageous or your most memorable hunt. So what was that one hunt that you had it was maybe a teaching moment or, you know, aha moment for you or something?
Okay. One of the biggest, I guess, when I kind of think back, one of my most memorable ones or one that I know I'll never forget. And it turned into a pretty serious situation and could have been a lot worse. And it gave me the realization that, you know, although I feel like I'm pretty tough and the guys that I try to involve on these hunts and stuff to help me are all pretty tough too, and that we can pretty much deal with whatever. We're all still humans and have basic needs that have to be met. And we were on a desert sheep hunt in West Texas a couple of years ago in July. We'd packed in 7 or 8 miles into a canyon on horses and mules, and we're actually sleeping under they've got these guzzlers. They call them guzzlers there. I think y'all probably have them in Arizona too.
Yeah.
Basically an inverted tin roof that collects rainwater and dew and everything else and drains into a tank. And so anyways, we were camping under that. And we had packed in, I don't remember now, 6 or 8 cases of frozen water. And so by like the third day in 120 degree heat, we're drinking hot water, eating Spam, you know, didn't have enough good quality food, didn't have enough quality water, you know, hunting and hiking like crazy. And so, you know, I was at the time, I guess, 24 or 5, in about as good a shape as you can be in. The two guys that were helping me, same way, you know, 20 years old and 25 or 6 years old. And like I said, we all kind of thought we were invincible. And so we hunted for, I don't remember now, 7 or 8 days. The hunter was actually in really good shape as well. And so we were going and going and hiking, you know, I don't, 6, 8 miles a day and riding horses another 6 or 8 miles a day. And, ended up finding a ram. Got him killed, and he died across it. We shot him across the canyon, right at pretty close to dark. And so when we saw him go down, the horses and mules were back behind us about a mile. And the hunter he said, "I'm done." He said, "I can't go any farther. I can't go get that ram." He said, "You are gonna have to go get him, and you know, I'll just have to take pictures with the cape and the horns." So the other two guys went after the ram, and I took the hunter and went back to the horses. And we were going to all kind of meet down at the bottom of this canyon with the horses and ride back to camp. And long story short, the other two guys got up there and got the ram caped out and ended up coming down the mountain. Well, and after we shot, we realized that between the four of us, I think we had like 2 bottles of water.
Oh, geez.
We had a radio with a dead battery, just all stuff that could have been prevented. You know, we should have had plenty of batteries to radio. Everybody should have plenty of water, but we didn't. So long story short, me and the hunter get down to where we're supposed to meet the other two guys. And I figured they'd be 9 or 10 o'clock at night getting to us. And, ended up being like at 3 o'clock in the morning, I haven't heard from them, you know, can't get them on the radio. Their radio is dead. And I'm getting pretty worried and I'm not going to leave the hunter and go look for him. Even if I could, I didn't have any clue where to go, you know, where they were, and it's pitch black dark and we're out of water. And I think we had like a half a bottle that we were saving for them because we knew they'd be out when they got to us. And so I was, really just stuck there, couldn't do anything. And so I got up in a tree and put my headlamp on strobe and was hollering for them and trying to do everything and couldn't get a hold of them, couldn't figure out where they were. And so finally, and to this day, I still, it's a miracle. I was looked at my phone. We're in the middle of West Texas in the Diablo Mountains. I mean, middle of absolute nowhere, no phone service all week. And I looked down at my phone to see what time it was, and I watched my phone go from no service to full 5 bars of LTE phone service. And so I tell people that story, they don't believe me, but it's the truth. And so I called the other boy, and he answered his phone and told me, that they were out of water and they had come off the wrong mountain or the wrong finger, and they were lost. And I could tell by the look or by the sound of his voice, they were in big trouble. And I told him, I said, "Well, just put the phone down and holler, and I'll try to find you." And so we put the phones down, and he hollered, and I could just barely hear him, just a little faint voice way down on past us. And so I told him I could hear him, and I, was coming to get him. And so I told the hunter to come behind me, real slow, and watch out. There's rattlesnakes everywhere. We killed like 40 rattlesnakes that
Oh,
week.
yeah.
And so I told the hunter, I said, "I'm gonna take off and go on up this drainage." I said, "Just come behind me real slow, lead the horses, don't get bit by a snake, and don't fall down, break your leg, and just come till you run into us." And so I took off at a trot to get to them. And when I got to these boys, they were down. One of them was throwing up. They were both kind of out of it, delusional. And we gave them the last of water that we had, and got them on the horses and got back to camp. And luckily, when it was all said and done, everybody lived and made it through it. They were pretty sick for a couple of days, but
Wow.
after that, that really made me, like, when I go into a hunt now, I think about, make sure we have plenty of water, make sure we have plenty of food, make sure we have batteries for the radios, make sure we've got, first aid kit. Because, a lot of everybody likes to think, "Oh, I'm tough and I've been doing the workout program all summer and I can run
Yeah.
5 miles and blah blah blah, and I'm nothing, it's not gonna happen to me." But man, you get out there and some of those, and it doesn't even have to be a, you don't have to be in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it can happen in your backyard, but when you get out in some of those places and there's no phone service, there's nobody around for 100 miles, I mean, you can't mess around out there, and you can't cut corners and take chances, or you can end up in big trouble. I mean, that deal there, had I not, I believe to this day, had whatever, that was something that was totally preventable, if we'd had a little more water or a little more this. And so that was a big learning experience for me, that although, whatever, I'm 25 and tough as nails, like those places like that are pretty unforgiving, and you've got to just make sure you're prepared, and take a satellite phone or an inReach or something, and take plenty of supplies and food and water. And so that really opened my eyes to
Oh yeah.
that, bad stuff can happen if you're careless.
For sure. Yeah, a lot of
So.
guys always make fun of me for how much like survival gear I carry around with. Like, oh my God, man, your pack's heavy. I'm like, listen, it happened to me one time where I spent the night out in the freaking woods by myself, because I got lost or whatever, and I
Yep.
was like, I just don't want to be caught with my pants down ever again. So I want to be as prepared as I possibly can. If that means I have to pack around an extra 7, 8 pounds of gear,
Yep. It could save your life, for sure.
I'll leave the spotting scope back at home,
Yeah. So I got my space blanket and some extra food, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah,
well,
you just
crazy, man.
always be prepared for the worst. And you can never tell. I was in Alaska on a dull sheep hunt one time in July. And they had told me that it was going to be 70, 80 degrees all week. We'd be wearing shorts, like bring bug nets. It was going to be hot. And so I go up there, and you have to have there's only a certain amount of weight you can carry on the plane, and it's
Right.
based on what you weigh. And so the less you weigh, the more gear you can carry. Anyways, I didn't have enough weight left to carry a whole bunch of extra stuff, but time with my pack and gun and all that. And so I just basically took clothes like you would go, hunt whatever antelope in July with. And got up there and ended up snowing 7 or 8 inches and iced us in all week, and I just about froze to death. And that was another situation where I wasn't 100% sure I was gonna make it out of there. It was a little touch and go for a day or two, and but
Jeez.
you just never know what's gonna happen. So, I know you can't carry the whole kitchen sink with you every time, but take a
Yeah.
little extra
Yeah.
water, an extra jacket, and
Yeah.
be prepared because stuff can change and you can get in trouble in a hurry.
Yeah, but I've run into the problem with the water on a day hunt before. My cousin
Yeah.
Anthony and I were down where I took your dad coos deer hunting,
Oh yeah.
and we were back there a ways. Hell, shit, me and your dad got into a little situation for a little bit.
Yeah. You said that was pretty rough.
That was a little comedy of errors, but I mean, I knew we weren't lost, but we were lost for a little bit.
Yeah.
And we ran out of Anthony and I ran out of water. We had packed, hiked up into this back canyon, and we were pretty up high up in the. And it was January. It was freaking cold as shit that morning, and then it went from cold to 70 degrees. And I don't know. I think I maybe had just like one of those like little, Arrowhead bottles of water or something like that
Yeah.
with me. And I started getting dizzy and crap. And it was just after one day. And I mean, luckily we weren't super far from the truck, but I started thinking to myself, I'm like, you know what? I never want to be put in that situation again.
Yeah.
Think about it, if it was a what much worse situation,
Oh
or had
yeah.
we been out further, or whatever,
Yeah.
so.
You can't mess around with, you can go days without eating and be all right, or you can find something to eat, but you run out of
Right.
water, especially if it's hot, you get in trouble quick.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So tell me the story. I mean, that was a pretty memorable hunt. What's your most favorite hunt then? Because I don't want to use the same word memorable, because that was pretty that's pretty memorable situation. What was your favorite, most outrageous, most, like, shit, if you could do it 10 times more, you'd do it again.
Probably, I don't, it wasn't, well, I mean, it, I don't, there wasn't like anything crazy that happened. Well, I mean, I guess the whole thing was kind of crazy, but probably the most memorable one, probably one of my, what I would consider one of my best weeks ever was actually just this past January. I took,
My
I
son just ran into
jumped.
the office. Come here, buddy. Come here and say hi to Zach. Come here. Don't just hit on the door. I'm gonna grab him real quick.
Okay.
There's the boy. All right. Sorry about
That the
that.
newest
Yeah, this is the newest edition.
one? I think
Can't
you, were
believe
you out here when he was, where were we at? He was fixing to be born. Were we in Vegas or?
it.
We were
Yeah, I think
somewhere
so. Yep,
training.
because he was born in March. He was born a couple of days before my birthday.
Okay, yeah, I guess it was when we were out there in Vegas, but
Yeah. Not too short, shortly thereafter anyway.
yeah, I remember you talking about it. So this year I took it's a client of mine who's actually become one of my best friends. He's a guy from Louisville, Kentucky. His name's Austin, and he's killed a couple elk with me and deer and sheep and everything else. And so he calls me back last fall and he says, or back in last summer, and says he's got these three buddies and they all want to go do something, like go on a really cool trip and blah blah blah. And so I set him up on this ranch in Mexico. We go down and hunt with Hugo. I think Hugo. And just he's a freaking class act. I mean, just a character. And so I take him down there. We go to Hermosillo in January and go to the ranch. And we end up that week we killed. Let's see. We went down there and there was four of them and they were all going to kill a deer apiece. And they ended up shooting. I know Austin killed two deer. Todd, one of the other guys, killed two deer. The other two guys killed a deer apiece. I ended up killing a deer. And then, so we killed, I think, seven deer in like 4 days. And these are seven. The buck I shot was like a 32 and a half inch wide management deer. I didn't even score any, but the six trophy deer that we killed were all over 180, one over 200, a couple over 190. I mean, could not have asked for a better week of deer hunting. And then when we got done with the deer, the neighboring rancher called and said he'd had a sheep hunter cancel and he had a desert sheep tag. So I took Austin over there, and he ended up shooting 184-inch desert sheep on the ranch next door. We weren't even planning on sheep hunting. And just that whole week, and I won't go into all the stories and the stuff that happened, but that was
It's
one.
Mexico. It's enough
I
said.
mean, if you haven't hunted Mexico, like you go down there in January, it's 80 degrees. You're staying in these little ranch houses, and it's just like the whole atmosphere. And they're playing freaking Mexican music and mixing margaritas, and you got big, huge outdoor grill, and a big fat Mexican guy cooking fajitas, and it's just super laid back, and everybody has a big time. And you go hunt, and there's giant deer, and like that to me, that was probably, or I know it was the most fun week of hunting I've ever had. It was with great guys, great friends of mine, and killed giant deer, killed a huge sheep, and ate like kings and drank a little too much a couple days, and it just that was a blast. That's what I always tell people, like if you haven't experienced Mexico, it's so much fun. And if you go with the right people, everybody's worried about the safety and all that, and if you go with the right people and people that know what they're doing, it's I feel safer there than I do walking through downtown Nashville. So if you haven't done Mexico, you do it. It's a blast.
Well, awesome, man. And thank you for coming on and sharing your stories with us. Where can listeners find out more about you?
I need to build a website. I've been in the process of building one for like 5 years now, but it's not
I
done.
know.
So right now, you can probably the best way to find me and keep up with me, see all my stuff is on Facebook. You can look up my personal page. It's Zach, Zach, and then Knowles, Knowles. Send me a friend request, or you can look up Extreme Outfitters. I have a business page, and it's Xtreme. There's no E on the front of Extreme, and then Outfitters. You can follow that page, and I try to. I'm pretty much a one-man show. I've got some guys that work for me and guide for me different places, but I'm the sole owner of it, and I'm the, all there is. And so I try to stay really available to people, and I'll send you my phone number or whatever, and you're welcome to call me, text me, Facebook me, Instagram me, whatever. I try to make myself really available to everybody. So.
Sweet. All right, man. Well, thanks. I'll talk to you soon and look forward to hearing your adventures from this season.
Yeah, man. Good luck to you too. You got some cool stuff planned, so.
Yeah, I'm excited. Got some good tags this year and
Oh
quite a few good hunts.
yeah. Yeah, has
So
my dad told you about his draws this year?
yeah, he said, well, he told me he got Kansas mule deer.
Yeah, he's got five mule deer tags, five rifle mule deer tags this year.
Five?
Five.
Jesus
He's
Christ.
got a New Mexico one, a Utah one, a Kansas one, and two in Nebraska.
Good for him.
Yeah, so his luck continues.
Jesus. Yeah, he's lucky SOB.
I'm telling you.
Yeah,
So I'm gonna start putting it into the party.
exactly, right?
Because I can't draw anything, so.
Yeah, it's all right. You wouldn't have time to go anyway.
I'm telling you. Yeah, that's like that coos deer tag I had to give up, so.
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
Well,
so.
that's why you gotta. Well, after you get done messing around in Mexico, come up and hunt with me in January. We'll go
Yeah,
chase some
no.
muleys, or we'll go chase some muleys around.
Yeah, sounds good,
That
man.
won't cost you $7,000.
Yeah, cause it's broke out further, so.
All right, man. Take it easy.
All right, buddy, see you.